Welcome back, everybody. This is Eric Ellison with the Digital Education Podcast. As I put out this morning, a little bit of a plan to kind of have short conversations on one single question: what's next, with friends of mine, people that I know in education, people that I have lots of conversations about teaching and learning, about change in education. But it's just one question to prompt us to start thinking about what comes after remote learning, the quarantine, and all that goes with it. Today I'm with one of my longest time friends, John Eckert, who's professor of educational leadership and the Linda and Robert Koppel Endowed Chair in Christian School Leadership at Baylor University, also the author of Leading Together and Novice Advantage. So John, without getting too formal, I mean, and I'm going to keep it simple. When you start looking ahead, what's next?
Well, it's great to be with you, Eric, but your question presupposes that we can actually predict anything right now, which anybody that's making predictions right now is just looking foolish, because day after day, the conditions just keep changing. So while I think it's tough to do that, I think in a crisis like this, cooler heads always prevail. And for me, that means going back to the fundamentals of what teaching and learning are all about. And so in order to look ahead, I think we just look at what's worked for thousands of years and figure out what context that's going to work in as we move forward. And I think there's really three things that I see as being fundamental to teaching and learning. And the first one is we've got to be able to engage kids' minds. And so I think some of the schools that are doing well right now have figured out ways to keep their kids engaged in meaningful learning. Sometimes that's planning stuff with them, that's making changes to what they had intended to do, but it's still building on good work that they've already started doing, and they're continuing that work. The second thing is we've got to be able to give good feedback. So as teachers, we've got to be able to give feedback on meaningful work, and we've got to be able to get feedback in from students. If we can't do that, then we're not teaching and we're not learning. So anyway, whether it's face-to-face, virtual, however you're going to deliver content, those two things, you've got to engage kids, and then you've got to get and receive feedback. So those two things are important. So whatever happens as we look ahead, that's got to be part of it. And then the bottom line is it's all predicated on relationships. And so the great thing about right now, when this disruption happened, we had had 3/4 of a year to build relationships with students. So those were already there, and we could lean into those and continue to build on those. That'll be different next year as we build relationships with new students, but we've got to make sure that we establish those. And some of those things are just holding high expectations, engaging kids' minds, and giving feedback that builds trust over time. But part of it's just this interpersonal, I care about you as a human being. And so I'll just give you two examples. This week for me at Baylor, we lost our students for the year. I have a number of seniors who aren't going to get to graduate. They're living alone, in some cases in apartments where roommates didn't come back. Some of them are in houses with 7 siblings living in the house with them. One of my students, her dad, likely has cancer, but they can't confirm it because of the COVID restrictions. And so he can't start treatment, nor does he actually even know if he has cancer. And he's not sure when he's going to know. So there are these real human needs right now. And so at the end of every semester, not just this one, I always give students a book with an inscription in the front with what I've found that I've been encouraged by in them, what I'm grateful for, how I see them growing, and where I hope they're heading. And so this year I had to mail those out. So I didn't just scrap it, like I can't give it to them, I can't get to them. I'm like, nope, we're going to still do it. I'm just going to mail them all out. The second thing was yesterday, my two daughters recognized that there were some students in Waco who were living alone and in apartments and didn't have access to a lot of encouraging home type thing. So they baked them chocolate chip cookies, and then we drove around and delivered them all yesterday with little handwritten notes from them, put them on their doorsteps, and just left them there. So those little things just build on those relational pieces, and however creative we have to be in doing that with students, we've got to keep doubling down on those relationships while we're engaging their minds and we're giving feedback on the learning that's happening. With those three pieces, wherever we end up, those are going to be key parts to what we do as schools and educational leaders.
So let me ask you one follow-up question and putting you on the spot here. What's one thing that you've adjusted even about your own teaching, in this time?
Yeah, so I've had the benefit of having Canvas, having a learning management system makes a huge difference right now, and having Zoom. And so I've taught professional learning for educators for 10 years through the Center for Teaching Quality, but I've never taught in an online class until 3 weeks ago. So what I've done is we had to completely adjust an assignment. So I was talking about that when we were talking about engaging minds. My students were doing a huge leadership project where they were putting an intervention in place in the organizations they were leading and collecting data over the course of the semester. That became impossible once the organizations disbanded and were dispersed. So we created an entirely different project that we did together. So we're doing collecting data together on the way leadership opportunities happen in this unbelievably unique time, to see how the class is adjusting and modifying their leadership. And a lot of times it's just serving the people that they're living with, or anything they can do digitally that's mediated leadership. And then looking at leadership models from around the country and the world for effective leadership in this time. It's not at all what I plan to do in the syllabus. I've never shifted a syllabus in the middle of the semester like this, but the conditions demanded it, and what better opportunity to study leadership than in one of the largest disruptions in the history of the world. And so we've taken advantage of that. We've adjusted. They helped me create what we were going to do. We took a week just figuring out what we were going to do. I've never done that with students at a syllabus because I've never had that opportunity. So that was a major shift, but it's been easier because I've got 10 students in my class. We can all get on Zoom together and we can talk. They were already submitting all their reading responses via Canvas, and I was already giving them feedback prior to class for every class, even when we met in person. So a lot of things were easier for me, but that was one major shift that we'll see if it actually makes it better, but it was a necessity to change right now.
John, thanks for prompting our thinking.
Hey, it's always good to be with you, Eric, and keep up the good work.